Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
My message will tie very well into Palm Sunday because we're going to be talking about that time and that time frame, what's happening. But let me say this, everybody's a leader. Everybody's a leader. In some area of their life. In some area in their field, whatever it may be, there's people that are leaders. And not only leaders, but as leaders, but we're people that are growing in God. How many say, I'm still growing in God? We all are. And we make mistakes. We go through life, and it seems like a lot of things happen in our life. We got trials, and we got tests, and all these different things. But I want to talk about Peter today. And I love Peter because Peter was a great apostle. But you know what? Peter had problems like you and I did. All the apostles did. I mean, Jesus dealt so much with these apostles. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were Dr. Luke. And so you have every background of person and people that followed Jesus. But one of the things we're going to look at today, in this whole thing centers around not just leadership or being a good leader no matter what area God has called us in, but being the Christian that God has called us for his kingdom and being a better Christian in the kingdom of God. But let's look at Peter's life. And boy, when you begin to read this and understand this, it really, you kind of look at yourself and go, wow. I've been through some things, but Peter really has gone through some things. But let's open up with Luke chapter 6. Now, I know, don't be afraid about your outline. It will not take long to get through. It seems like a lot, but there's more scripture than anything. But I wanted you to get the scriptures too. Luke 6 says, at daybreak, he called together all the disciples and chose 12 of them to be his apostles. Here are the names, Simon, who he named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Now, have you ever heard somebody describe that person's a piece of work? My wife's not in here, so anyway. A piece of work. And sometime in our life, someone said, my golly, you're a piece of work. But anyway, when you look at that, it's a picture that is used to identify people who are either over the top or they're out of bounds in public or sometimes even in relationships. Well, let me tell you something. That's a description of who Peter was. Peter was one of these guys that just was off the handle. I mean, he was a piece of work of all the disciples. I mean, he always got himself in trouble with Jesus. But when you look at Peter's life, you see how he started to grow from where he was to where he ended up being. It changed him. The four Gospels are full of Peter, the brother of Andrew, the disciple of Jesus, and the apostle of the church. After the name of the Lord himself, no name comes up as often as Peter's name. No disciple speaks so often, so much as Peter. Our Lord speaks more often to Peter than any of his disciples, sometimes in praise and sometimes in blame. Okay? No disciple is as much rebuked by our Lord as Peter. And no disciple ever ventures to rebuke his master like Peter. No other disciple ever so boldly confessed and outspokenly acknowledged and encouraged our Lord as Peter did a lot of times. And no one ever interrupted, interfered, and tempted our Lord repeatedly as Peter did. So we're beginning to see a profile of a man that followed the Lord. The master spoke words of approval and praise and even blessing to Peter more than he speaks of any other man in the Bible. And almost in the same breath, he said harder things to Peter than he ever said to any of the 12 disciples, unless it was Judas.
Okay.
A curious fact is that Peter's name is found in each of the lists of names of disciples. Peter's name was always first. You'll notice that. It's always first. Okay? And the word used to describe him was first in order, meaning that the first in rank or as a leader. That was Peter. And yet we see things in Peter's life that when we look at him, we're going, there's hope for us. Amen. There's hope for us. And so we see through the life of Peter, we're going to learn some lessons about his life and his leadership. Now write this down. In the life of Peter, a single truth is observed about his leadership. You have to give up, to go up, and to grow up. Make sense? There's some things you're just going to have to give up to go up higher in the Lord and to grow up in God. All of us, there's things in our life that we have got to do something in order to be better for the kingdom and for our Lord Savior. Peter was consumed with himself. Yet his life, we witness a man learning to surrender his strengths. He learned to surrender his strengths in order to discover the power of God in his life. That was Peter. To lead or be used in the kingdom of God, we've got to give up some things in order to go up and to grow up. The first one is this, self-consciousness. Now, if you notice, it's excessive awareness of oneself, one's appearance, or one's actions. And sometimes we can be very self-conscious of things that are not wholesome. Peter was like that. But let's look what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:4, I am not conscious of anything against myself, and I feel blameless, but I am not vindicated and acquitted before God on that account. It is the Lord himself who examines and judges me. So Paul said this, I don't know if there's anything that I'm conscious of, or he said anything against myself. He said, I think I feel blameless, and that's how he lived his life. But he said, the only one that really knows me is the Lord. And so he's my judge and my examiner of my life, because the enemy can make you feel self-conscious and make you beat yourself up when God looks at you in a total different way and sees you in a total different light. Now, let me show you something. Paul would not allow himself or his own conscience or anybody to mentally or emotionally beat him up. He wouldn't even do it to himself. And yet the matter is in the hands of God, who's the merciful judge. Now, I know Paul, when you read his epistles, he said, hey, I'm the chief of sinners, man. I persecuted Christians, and I did this. Now, he would admit things that he did in his past, but that's not where he stayed. He acknowledged the Lord, and he was conscious of who he was in Christ. He knew who he was in God. Peter had to learn that his life was not to be defined by his life, circumstance, but by God's call. Write that down. Peter had to learn that his life was not to be defined by his life, circumstance, but by his call. So what am I saying? This morning, people, we go through things in our life, but your calling is not defined by your circumstances. It's defined by the Lord himself who has called you. If my circumstances defined who I was, I wouldn't be here today preaching the gospel. You see what I'm saying? I would have just stayed out of the ministry. But the Lord called me and I said, Lord, if you can use my life, no matter how messed up I was, and you can change me to help other people, then I will do the call that you've called me to do. Now, after you get involved and you begin to serve the Lord, it seems like everything hits you all at one time, and you wonder, am I really called? How many ever felt that way? Am I really, God, am I really doing what you told me I need to do? No bug in this. I already flicked them out. So, okay. Here we go. So, we see that in Paul. Simon was his given name. It was a common name. And Simon was a fisherman. Every background you can think of the disciples. But see, God had an exceptional purpose for Simon. Jesus did not see or observe Peter as just ordinary. God does not see you as just ordinary or common. That's not how he looks at us. And you're saying, Pastor, my mercy, I have my life, I've messed up, and oh, my. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. When we repent of our sins and we turn away from our sins, that's when the blood of Jesus is there to cleanse us. And so we see here that even in Peter's life, God had a purpose for him. He didn't look at him as just ordinary. He saw potential in Peter way beyond what Peter saw in himself. And sometimes that's hard to do. To see ourselves the way God sees us in a different light. And so instead of Jesus saw a man whose character would, he saw a man whose character would be firm and strong, a man who would be chosen for help building the church of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, and I tell you, Peter, the Greek for Petros, Peter was a large piece of rock. He called him the rock. And on this rock, now when he says this rock, he's talking about himself, Jesus, the larger rock, the cornerstone, the rock of Gibraltar. He said, Peter, you are called the little stone, the little rock, but on this rock, I will build my church. Jesus was referring to himself. And so we see, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of infernal region shall not overpower it or be strong or detriment or hold out against the church of God. And that's what Jesus spoke to Peter. Now, to be used in the kingdom more than we want to and we should, or to be the leader that God has called us to be, there's some things that we have to understand. Number two, self-confidence. There's nothing wrong with being confident, people. A feeling of trust in one's abilities, qualities, or judgment. Proverbs 3:26 says, the Lord will be our confidence. He will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from getting caught when we put our confidence in God. No one would question the importance of confidence in leadership. An indecisive leader will create a culture of insecure people. When a person is indecisive about everything and they're not focused on what needs to be done, that'll create a whole group of people that are insecure. Every leader needs to show confidence. But Peter's self-confidence became the greatest stumbling block in his life. And how do we mean that? In his spiritual leadership, some of the most amusing moments in the ministry of Jesus surrounds Peter's misplaced sense of confidence. When you look at it, look at Peter. Peter was filled with pride and he lacked humility. Now, there's three examples that we can look at where we see this. The first one is this. When we see this, when Jesus washed his feet, how many remember the story when Jesus came to Peter and he washed his feet? Let's look at this. John 13 says, when he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are my feet to be washed by you? And is it for you to wash my feet? Jesus said to him, you do not understand now what I'm doing, but you will understand later on. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Talk about pride. Since when was Peter above Jesus and what Jesus did? I know self-pride or pride will say, well, you know what? I can do it myself. I'll wash my own feet, Jesus, but you're the Messiah. You're not going to bow down and wash my feet. And so it becomes, but you notice the other apostles didn't say anything. Do you think they might have understood? I don't know if they did, but I think they understood that they kept their mouth shut. Okay. They didn't want to get in trouble. But Peter, he's just going to say what he's going to say. And so here's what he says. He said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. you have no share in companionship with me. See, right before that, the disciples were arguing about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom anyway. Well, who's going to sit at the right hand of Jesus or on his left hand? And so we're arguing about that. And you know, Jesus picks up everything. He hears everything. And so later on, he gets up from the table, puts an apron on as a servant, and fills a basin up and begins to start to wash the disciples' feet. There was a greater purpose than dirty feet. There was a spiritual emphasis in this whole thing that Jesus was trying to show him. He was trying to talk to him about being the greatest servant of all, humility. That sometimes we walk through this world, and when we walk through this world, we get a little dirty from the things of the world. We just have to wash our feet because we don't have to wash our whole selves because we're already born again. But sometimes we pick up a little bit of dust here and a little dust of the world there, and we try to shake it off, and then we just get rid of that thing in our life. And so Jesus was talking about this, about servanthood, about humbling ourselves and being a servant to all. The next one was when Jesus foretold of his denial, when Peter would deny him. He talked about his denial. Matthew 26, 33 says, Peter declared to him, though they all. All right. Do you detect a little pride in that? Though they all, Lord, are offended and stumble and fall away because of you and distrust and desert you, I will never do so. One of the translations in the Bible, one of them says that they all deserted him in the garden. Jesus said to him, solemnly I declare to you, Peter, this very night before the single rooster crows, you will deny and disown me three times. Three times. So we see that in his denial when pride got in there. Boy, it's like saying something and you got to back it up and you don't back it up. Wow. It's better not to say anything than not be able to back it up. And Peter didn't do that. He just said, oh, everybody else denies you, Lord. I will not do it. Whew. The third one is when Jesus was arrested. All right? So I was reading one where Peter was following Jesus and kind of just follow him in a far-off distance after he had already fled the garden. Okay? And it says, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, and it struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So, when all the people show up to get Jesus, Peter's the man. He said, Lord, I'll defend you. Takes his sword out and strikes the man's ear off. And you know what it says in the Gospels? It says that Jesus picked up Malchus's ear and put it back on him. Now, if Malchus wasn't a believer in the Son of God then he should stay home. And so he's got so much pride. I'll take care of you, Lord. But he didn't realize that this is not his kingdom. He said, put up your swords. This is not my kingdom. Defend myself. Like he said on the cross, he could call 10 legions of angels to come and take him down from the cross. He didn't need Peter to defend him. So Peter had to learn that he was vulnerable to himself. How many have ever been vulnerable to yourself? I guess I'm the only one. Okay. To his circumstance, and most of all, to Satan. And he learned, and Peter did learn, and he grew in the Lord as he learned to surrender and focus on the Lord and his Savior. Look at 1 Peter 5:5. I like this. Now, here's Peter at the end of his life. Jesus is gone. Peter's writing his book. And when you read this, he's a total different person. We'll talk about some more of his negative qualities, okay? But let's look at this one here. In every relationship, each of you must wrap around yourself the apron of a humble servant. Huh. You're never going to wash my feet, Lord. Isn't it amazing how Peter said, take that, wrap it around yourself, be humble. He learned something. Because God resists you when you are proud, but multiplies grace and favor when you are humble. If you bow low in God's awesome presence, he will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in his hands. See, Peter was one of these guys that he wanted it now, and he wanted the timing now, but he had to learn that it was in God's timing, not Peter's. He said this, pour out your worries and stress upon him and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you. Be well balanced, always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him. Resist his evil attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kinds of trouble you endure. So Peter's saying you're not alone. There's people all over the world that are suffering worse than maybe we are. People are dying for their faith. Muslims that find Jesus Christ right now are dying for their faith. People all over the world that are being persecuted are dying for their faith. Even as we speak right now, somebody has given their life for Jesus Christ. So Peter's talking, it's just not us. And then after your brief suffering, I like this, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. If anybody understands restoration, it's Peter, and we'll talk about that. Yes, he will set you firmly in a place, and he will build you up. What Peter is saying in verse 7, if you do not bring your worries and your cares to God, the devil will use depression and discouragement to devour you. That's what the devil do. How many have ever watched like Animal Kingdom and all these different things? And I watch it on TV and Candy goes, I don't want to watch that. Man, that lion's going after that poor little deer and she's going on. And I said, honey, I want to watch this. I like the attack here now. You just go and make a cup of coffee for me. No, I didn't tell her that. But anyway, so you see this lion go. We know what they do? They look for the weakest. They look for the youngest. And they're seeking out the stragglers, the feeble, the young, the stragglers. And so is the enemy of our souls, always seeking to those who are isolated, that are alone or depressed, to devour them. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take us and devour us and come against us. Suffering, in part, comes from the activity of the devil. Let's face it. There are sufferings that must be resisted by faith as a part of an attack from the devil himself. Okay? Peter uses the word brief suffering when he talked about this brief suffering. When we are in the midst of suffering, I know every one of us feel this way. We're convinced it will never end. Have you ever been there? You're in the midst of the greatest trial of your life, and you're wondering, when will this ever cease? You wonder if you're going to get through it. Oh, you'll get through it. You'll get through it. We always get through it. And so Peter reminds us that all of our trials are slight, brief, and temporary, but the glory that we experience is eternal. There's no comparison to the glory of God that we experience, even in the midst of this. The calling of every believer is to share in the glory of God unveiled in Christ. It's our calling to share in his glory, people. Peter knows what he was talking about here. After his ordeal of denying Jesus three times, that he even knew Jesus, God restored him and made him strong. And this is what the Lord said. Jesus prophesied to Peter, and he said, you will strengthen the faith of your brothers. Even the apostles themselves. Both Peter both of his letters are anointed by the Holy Spirit to give you strong faith that we will not give up. What Peter did, how many people would have ever gave up? You're talking about the Lord. Well, Lord, I put my foot in my mouth again this time. Well, I did it this time. And so Peter's learning just as well as the other apostles were learning. There's a third release that takes place here. Number four, self-absorption. That means engrossed in one's own emotions, interests, or a situation. Now, let me boil it down to this. Peter was full of himself. In a nutshell, he really was. But when I look at Peter's life, his personality and the personalities of the other ones were totally different. But you know what? God can use every personality. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. God has a way of using us. What he thought, he said. That was Peter. What he wanted, he made it known. What he expected, he expressed. That was Peter. Peter caused a lot of trouble for himself and for others because he was so concerned about himself and he was absorbed with his own opinions. Sometimes our own opinions can get us in trouble, huh? Most of the trouble in the world is caused by people wanting to be important. They want to be above instead of humble themselves to be beneath. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. If we want to feel the grace of God and the glory of God, and we want to be a great leader no matter what, this is the key scripture here of what we have to be like. It was like when Jesus took the apron and kneeled down and washed their feet. Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example of humility. The Passion translation says, abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to your friends instead of your own interests. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, had set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. Wow, that's powerful. When we release the need for personal importance and accept a call to sacrificial service as a Christian, we embrace the attitude of Jesus, the greatest leader and the truest servant of all was Jesus. Peter's self-consciousness, his self-confidence, and his self-absorption failed him. His pride led him to great fall, denying the Lord three times. Yet, he denied the Lord three times, but what happened, people? After his humbling failure, Peter learned compassion and the care for others through forgiveness. Let's read John 21. After they had breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you burn with love for me more than these? Now, I want you to see something here. Peter already denied Jesus. Can you imagine how he felt? He felt like a total loser. I have failed God. I spoke when I should have kept my mouth shut. I was absorbed just with myself. And he denied him three times. And the Bible says, we read that he wept bitterly. When you have done something in your life, every one of us at some place in our life have wept hard because of where we were at in our life. Wondering if God could ever restore or change it or do something in our lives. And you notice he always does. But here we see Peter went back to fishing. God told him to go and preach the gospel and to go out and they all went fishing. This is where Jesus found Peter. So as they were fishing, he took some fish and he put some cornmeal on it, and he got some Frank sauce, and he got all this stuff together, and he started cooking fish for them. Don't forget the potatoes and the gravy and the other stuff. So Jesus is cooking. And here's what he says to him. Now, in this verse, you'll notice there's some things that Jesus said to him to restore Peter. Now, we're talking about agape love, God's love. And we're talking about brotherly love, which is affectionate love for one another. Now, let's look at this when we read this, and I'll show you something. Jesus knows how to set you up to restore you. I like this. After they had breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you burn with love for me more than these?" Now, I don't know if he's talking about the fish or he's talking about the disciples. Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I have great affection for you." He didn't say agape for you, or I burn compassion for you, because, see, I failed God, so how could I love God when I screwed up so bad? And so he says, "Yeah, Lord, I phileo you," the word for brotherly love. That's where Philadelphia comes from, brotherly love. Okay? And so, "Take care of my lambs," Jesus said. And then Jesus repeated his question the second time. "Simon, son of John, do you burn with love for me? Do you have a lot of passion for me, Peter?" Peter says, "Yes, my Lord, you know I have great affection towards you." Now, how could I love God when I failed God? That's a work of the enemy. Come on. That's what the enemy did to Peter. "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. Now, then Jesus asked him again, "Peter, son of John, do you have great affection?" Now, you notice how he said, "Do you have great affection for me?" Now, he didn't say, "Do you burn with passion?" He said, "Do you have great affection for me, Peter? Do you just like me? Is this just a brother relationship?" Here's what Peter says. Peter was saddened by being asked the third time. And he said, "My Lord, you know everything. You know my heart. You know my life. You know my failings. You know everything that I did. You know me better than anybody." So Peter reaches real down deep inside. "You know that I burn with love for you." Jesus replied, "Then feed my lambs." He said, "Peter, listen. When you were younger, you made your own choices and you went where you pleased." Doesn't that sound like Peter? "I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to do what I want. And Lord, if I get in trouble, I get in trouble." Jesus said, "But one day, when you're old, others will tie you up and escort you where you would not choose to go and where you would spread out your arms." Now, Jesus was talking about Peter dying crucified, but Peter chose to die upside down. Now think of this. Jesus restores Peter back to where he needs to be. "Get out there and feed my people. Peter, get out there and move on. Peter, don't stay here, but move on. Feed my people." And he said, "You denied me three times." But he said, "The day's going to come when those people will come to you and they will escort you off and they will crucify you, but you will choose to be crucified upside down instead of the way the Lord did." Wow. God can use us and he can take us from one place to the other to be the best we can be for him. It was Peter's boast that he loved Jesus more than the others. And though everyone else would leave him, Peter said, "I'll never leave you." The boast proved empty, as within hours of making this claim, Peter denied Jesus three times. So Jesus kept asking Peter three times if he loved him. In essence, Jesus knew how to bring healing to Peter and remove the pain of denial. Three times Peter denied Jesus, but three times he makes his confession of his deep love for Jesus. Three times. By the third time, that crowing rooster that's been in his mind and in his heart inside of Peter is now silenced. That thing's dead. And now he was ready to be the shepherd of Jesus' flock the way that God called him to be. 1 Peter 4:8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of. Didn't Jesus cover over all the things that he did and said? Yeah, love covered it all. Jesus said, "Peter, I don't care about your past. I care about your future. I don't care what happened yesterday or this morning. I care about what happens tomorrow in the future." And love covers a multitude of sin. Love overlooks the sin, the failures, the shortcomings. It covers them because it sees something greater beyond our failings. That's how God is. And we should be like that with one another. I'm not saying that we say that it's all right to live in sin and do this. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that there's times that we need to see beyond the failings of each other, the shortcomings of each other, and we need to see Jesus where he's taken each of us in our walk with him. And that's what Jesus was like. Jesus covered and overlooked Peter's failures, his sins, his shortcomings, and that's why Peter could quote these verses. He's a prime example of God's forgiveness. Now, the last hurdle, write this down. The self-preservation. The protection of oneself from anything that harms or may even makes us uncomfortable. You ever been in a situation where you thought, "I'm uncomfortable, I don't know if I can follow through on this"? Every true test of leadership will make you uncomfortable. Every test that comes your way is going to make you uncomfortable. Now, if we seek comfort and control, then sometimes that puts us in a place that we're not going to be lead very well or do what God's called us to do. Now, let's look at the following discomforts in Peter's life on the mountain. Do you think Peter already knew what his death would be? This was during the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's look at this. Luke 9:33. And Moses and Elijah were about to return to heaven. Peter impetuously blurted out, "Master, this is an amazing to see the three of you together. Why don't we stay here in the glory and set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah?" Now you say, "Well, what's so bad about that?" You know, there's nothing wrong with being in the glory of God. I like Peter's idea. I just want to stay in God's glory all the time and never do another thing. But that's not what God called us to do. God didn't tell us to make a shelter and live in it and then leave everything else in the whole world alone. But he had a plan and a purpose. But that's more comfortable for Peter. Let's do that, Lord. Let's just bask in the glory of heaven. Forget about all these other people. Out of the boat, Matthew 14:29. "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went out over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord." And he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When he saw the winds and the wave, all the discomfort, all the things around him, that's when Peter began to sink. I have to I have to take my hat off to Peter. He got out of the boat. Nobody else did. At least he did something, failed trying instead of not doing anything at all. It's better to fail forward doing something than not do anything at all. And this was Peter. Outside the courtyard, Matthew 26, let's look at this. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times and even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly. In the end, Peter learned from each and discovered that the power of his life and leadership would never be found in himself, but in God. That's where we are, people. In closing this morning, we know that our focus has to be on him. It's got to be in God. Because no matter if we fail, we get back up and we keep moving forward and keep our focus on God. Peter's not the founder. Like, you know, a lot of people say Peter's the founder of the church, but here's what: God shaped him and used him to be a kingdom leader. And it challenges each of us today to look to Jesus. Peter teaches us through his life and his leadership to give up that we may go up and that we can grow up in Christ. That's what God's called us to do. He reminds us that this is the way to Christ. If you stop and think about it, salvation is giving up that we may go up and grow up through the grace of his promise. So when we gave our life to Jesus, we didn't all of a sudden exactly just everything just fell off of us and we were just perfect in our walk. How many figured that out? It's an everyday thing. We get hit with things. We fail God. We do things, we say things, we get ourselves in trouble. But God has not forsaken us. He still loves us. He's just asking for us to repent and to move forward in him. And so we look at this and we see what he says in Ephesians. He said this. Paul says, "I mean that you have been saved by grace because you believed. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. You're not saved by the things you have done. So there is nothing to boast about. God has made us what we are, people. God has made us who we are only by his grace, only because it's a gift. In Christ Jesus, God made us new people. We're new creations so that we would spend our lives doing good things that he already had planned for us." So when we look at the life of Peter, it challenges. One day when I get to heaven, Peter's the first, but besides Jesus. Jesus, first one I want to give a big hug to. And then I want to find Peter. Say, "Peter, nobody's talked more about anybody but you, but I'm going to tell you what. What an inspiration of God's grace and his goodness and his compassion and his mercy. Because where would we be if it wasn't for God's grace? Where would we be if it wasn't for us getting back up, being the man and woman that God has called to do what he's called us to do? Every one of us have a calling on our life, and that calling is to him, first of all. And then God using us in our calling to touch somebody else's life. The greatest testimony is what God brought you out of and through to tell somebody that's going through the same thing that you are going through. But Peter's life, people may laugh at Peter and look at him and say, "Wow, what a screw up." But he was one of the greatest leaders of the apostles. He was the one that stood up in the book of Acts on Pentecost and led 4,000 or 5,000 people to Jesus. He got it. He understood what it meant to wash somebody else's feet. He understood humility when he had pride. He understood all these things. And yet, he learned to look to Jesus and say, Lord, you're the author and you're the finisher of my faith. One of the worst things you could ever do in that time was deny Jesus. Can you imagine? Peter did. The other apostles probably thought, well, I didn't do that. But there's other things that they probably did. But Peter understood forgiveness. He understood comfort. He understood grace. He understood all these things because it happened to him. Keith, you guys got a song. We're going to close with a song, people, and then we're going to pray. Keith's got a new song. And as we're doing this song, I want you to begin to reflect where you're at in your life with the Lord. Are you allowing the enemy to bring condemnation? Are you willing to trust God? Trust the Lord? Believe Him? When I look at Peter's life, I see myself through the years. My personality would have been just like his. Put foot in mouth and insert it wrong way. But I look at Peter's life, his personality is like some of us. How many have ever told you you're never going to make it? You'll never amount to anything. But here we are. Amen? Here we are. Why? Because of God's grace. Only because of His grace. Only because of His mercy. And I thank God where He's bringing you and where He's brought you from. Keith?
Help my restless heart that's prone to roam and wander in the dark. Let your kindness draw me near. Keep me here. Teach me how to trust. Laid out on the altar of your love. Let your mercy draw me near. Keep me here. For I know I was created to be loved and overtaken. All-consuming fire, oh God, you are an all-consuming fire. Set me ablaze. In your presence I'm changed. Keep me in the flame that purifies, till only you remain. Set me ablaze. In your presence I'm changed. Jesus, you make all things new. With every breath I breathe inside of you, a song of joy begins to rise. I come alive, for I know I was created, Jesus, to be loved and overtaken. All-consuming fire, oh God, you are an all-consuming fire. consuming fire, set me ablaze. In your presence I'm changed. Change us, O Lord. Keep me in the fire that purifies, till only you remain. Set me ablaze. In your presence I'm changed. Jesus, I know I was created to be loved and overtaken. For I know I was created to be loved and overtaken, Jesus. For I know I was created to be loved and overtaken. All consuming fire, oh God, you are an all consuming fire, set me ablaze. In your presence I'm changed. And keep me in the flame that purifies, till only you remain. Set me ablaze. In your presence I'm changed.
Let's pray, people. Now this morning, people, I want you to understand before we pray, maybe you're at a place in your life you feel that God is so far away. But remember something, He never moves. Maybe we do, but He never moves. He's always there. Maybe you're at a place in your life and you feel so overwhelmed and you feel like, Lord, how could you ever forgive me? But just like Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, He said, go and sin no more, neither do I condemn you. Maybe you're at a place like Peter where you wonder if God could ever use you. Yes, He can. He used Peter. Lord, we come to you this morning and we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And Father, if we have not surrendered our hearts to you, I pray that those here will say, Jesus, I need you to be my Lord and my Savior at this time because I felt so unworthy. But because of what you did, Jesus, you made me worthy. So, Father, this morning I pray for each and every person in this place, what they're feeling, what they're going through. I ask you to just strengthen them and gird them up. Even where the enemy wants to sift them, Lord, I pray that you will make them strong and bold and courageous to be all they can be for you and to do all they can do for you. Lord, we humble ourselves this morning, realizing that our focus has to be on you. It can't be in our own strengths, our own abilities, but Lord, it has to be on you. And Father, we take all the cares, the frustrations, the discouragement, all these things that come against us, and we cast all our cares on you like Peter did. Lord, he understood what it meant to cast everything on you instead of carry it himself. cast all our failings, all our shortcomings. Lord, we cast all these things on you this morning. So, Father, as we leave this place today, may we begin to realize that you are for us and not against us. That you were with us. You're not far away. You're only a breath away as we talk to you. So, Lord, I speak blessing over the people in this place as they leave today. I speak your glory, your presence. May we listen to your voice when we're alone. May we give these things that and surrender these things to you that hold us back. But Father, may we most of all trust you and glorify you for knowing what you're doing to change us from glory to glory. Father, we thank you. We give you honor and we give you all the praise. And everybody said, and give the Lord praise. Amen. Hallelujah.